Minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, March 7th, you're listening to KCAW's Raven News. I'm Chris Todd. The budget picture for the Sitka School District next year is starting to look a little less dire. What started out as a projected $1.5 million deficit just a few weeks ago has been teased down to $44,000, but only by drawing on over half of the district savings account. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has more on this Wednesday's work session.
It was just a budget work session, but pretty much standing room only in the district office boardroom. Sitka Superintendent Steve Bradshaw and the district's business manager, Cassie Olin, had nipped, trimmed, and tucked a budget worksheet that now was showing only $44,000 in red ink next year. The savings come from several sources. The retirement of six teachers at the top of the pay scale is worth $150,000. The district is catching a break on its insurance rates next year for a savings of $70,000. Some adjustments to the contract for new superintendent Mary Wegner, who won't need moving expenses, for instance, amounted to $25,000. The only proposed staffing cut is the director of community schools. Current director Scott McAdams splits his time as high school activities director. Bradshaw said the district office had already absorbed most of the community schools' responsibilities, but he said, "We absolutely can't do without an activities director." But the biggest difference came on the revenue side. Bradshaw would like the board to transfer $900,000 out of savings into the operating fund, just like it did last year. The idea did not sit well with the board, since it would leave the district with only a little over $700,000 in the bank. The district will be implementing new curriculum materials in math and language arts next year, the so-called Common Core, and that's expected to cost up to $300,000 for new books and teacher training, which would have to be paid out of reserves. And unlike last year, there is little hope of a federal windfall in the form of the Secure Rural Schools Act. Board members asked Bradshaw to contemplate some scenario that involved deeper cuts than the savings they had already been shown in order to protect the district's reserves. Bradshaw, with 13 years under his belt, was reluctant to go there.
We've gone through this every year, as some of our people pointed out in our meetings. We've gone through this every year. Every year we come back and we're okay. And so to go out there and cry wolf again this year, if you mandate that I look at $600,000, we'll go work on $600,000. But you're sitting in a community that has a fairly decent reserve for most communities around this country. You're sitting in a state that has fairly decent reserves. And I've always felt like if we got to that point where we got back and we had 90 less kids than what we projected, we could still go to this community and get through that school year. Now, they may not like it, but this community has always stepped forward when it comes to education.
Bradshaw said there had been years when the district went fairly deep into its reserves, one year going as low as $180,000. Olin, asked for her opinion, said the optimum amount for Sitka to keep in the bank was $500,000, or about one payroll. Still, board member Jennifer Robinson wanted to know what was really at stake if the district had fewer students than expected next year, or if the legislature, contrary to expectations, failed to pass any increase in per-pupil funding for schools. She wanted real talking points for her next trip to Juneau.
I would kind of like to know what are the things that we would be faced with cutting if we can't come up with enough money to cover these things? Because I'm going to be sitting down in offices talking with legislators, and I'd like to be able to say, look, we have to pay for this math curriculum. We have to pay for these teacher evaluations. If we don't get money from you, who have mandated us to make these changes, then this is what we're looking at cutting from our district, and this is the impact that it's going to have.
Ultimately, Bradshaw agreed to find $44,000 in cuts, which he said won't hurt anybody. The board has scheduled one more budget hearing for March 27th, but President Lon Garrison said it was unlikely that it will be the last. With economic uncertainties remaining over the adoption of the new Common Core, teacher evaluations and online testing, and a big question mark hovering over this year's legislature, board members thought it wise to wait and see just a bit longer on the 2015 budget. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Meanwhile, in Ketchikan, the school district there is taking the first steps toward considering a four-day school week for the high school and middle school. In January, the school board gave the district a green light to look into the possible benefits of a Monday through Thursday week. The school district calendar committee met on Tuesday evening to talk about the idea. Emily Files reports from Ketchikan.
One of the main reasons a four-day week is even a consideration is because of all the school days students miss when they travel to compete in sports or other activities. In fact, while the calendar committee was meeting, the K-High basketball teams were getting ready for a Wednesday through Saturday tournament in Juneau.
Would it improve student learning and would it improve instructional time that we have with kids? Based on the fact that we know kids miss a lot at the middle school and the high school especially, for activities.
Rick Rafter is the human resources director for the school district and the head of the calendar committee. He emphasized that no decision has been made yet. A decision like this is going to take a lot of thought and discussion.
If it's something that is that would be so unpopular and have so many problems in making it work, there's no sense spinning your wheels on it and wasting time. So that would be one thing.
Like the school board, the rest of the calendar committee members seemed interested in what benefits a four-day week might bring. Rafter said K-High principal Sam Nelson told him the absence of traveling students affects the rest of the class.
But when they're gone, it also disrupts the days for everybody else, especially in a lot of classes that are, driven by instruction more than by project.
The calendar committee talked about some of the critical questions the district would have to explore in terms of a four-day week. How many students participate in activities that travel to compete? How would this affect students who work after school? How would it affect the class schedule? What about after-school activities? The educators on the calendar committee already have heard a lot of negative feedback from people they've talked to about the four-day week. But there are possible benefits that make them want to seriously consider this idea. Bob McClory, a guidance counselor at K-High and member of the calendar committee, says it might help with teacher absences.
I've started doing an analysis of staff absentees, and Fridays are by far the largest number of absentees among staff members consistently throughout the week.
He said maybe a four-day week could improve education by having more qualified teachers in the classroom on a more consistent basis. The committee plans to bring up the four-day week idea at a school district staff meeting in April or May. Then, in September, committees made specifically to explore this idea will be put together, one at the high school and one at the middle school. If a four-day week were to be implemented, the earliest start date would be fall of 2015. In Ketchikan, I'm Emily Files.
A Sitka 7th grader has won the state's spelling bee. Abigail Fitzgibbon was the Sitka champion last year as a 6th grader, but was unseated earlier this year in a dazzling spell-off with 8th grader Kyle Vida. Fitzgibbon represented Sitka last weekend in Anchorage as a runner-up, but nevertheless managed to run away with the state trophy. Fitzgibbon learned only a few days before that state bee that Vida wouldn't be going. She thinks that might have been an advantage. The state bee moves off the published word list quickly in order to make it a more challenging contest. Fitzgibbon relied more on her knowledge of words rather than memorization to pull out the win.
I was somewhat nervous, but there wasn't much time to get nervous. It was only one round off the list. So they gave me a word, and my first off-the-list word was heliciform, and I just guessed on that because heli was a Greek root, and so many words have Latin and Greek roots.
And just so we don't all spend the rest of the day pondering that word, which refers to a natural spiral, it is
heliciform.
Fitzgibbon outspelled about 30 students from around the state last weekend. At the national competition in Washington, D.C. in May, she'll face about 250 spellers. Fitzgibbon worries sometimes about being overconfident, but she hasn't won every bee she's entered. There have been some tough losses along the way. Her edge, if she's got one, is that she perceives words especially well.
I will never remember how something looked, but I can, like, quote passages from books or maybe even recite recite the order of words on a spelling list. Sometimes.
Fitzgibbon also has one other bit of advice for spellers and high-stakes bees. It's not breakfast that's important. It's HYDRATION. In what might have been one of the most tightly played games between crosstown rivals this season, the Sitka Wolves pulled out a one-point win over the Mount Edgecombe Braves in the second round of the Region 5 tournament in Juneau on Thursday. The final score, 43-42, Sitka. Sitka Daily Sentinel, sports editor Tom Hess is covering the games, and he says the win came down to the last possession, and it was not Sitka's size that paid off as much as their depth.
You know, their size was important, but Edgecombe has dealt with size in the past. I asked Andy Lee that same question after the game, and the coach of the boys' basketball team said, you know, we won this game in July. And what he meant by that was what it came down to for Sitka was muscle memory and instinct and just all the hours this team has spent together, and that's the things that they did right, making the extra pass when they had to, the extra defensive rotation, and capitalizing on a couple of turnovers and generating some while protecting the ball pretty well themselves. It was a pretty even contest. Sitka was just had nice balanced scoring throughout the game, and they were just able to hold it together for the win.
Sitka will likely meet Mount Edgecombe again today. The Braves play the Petersburg Vikings in the loser's bracket, a team whom they beat on Wednesday by 22 points, and if they win that contest, they'll have another shot at Sitka. Still, Sitka must lose twice to be eliminated from the tournament. If Edgecombe won a rematch with the Wolves, they'd have to play one last game, known in the parlance of the double elimination tournament as an if game. On the girls' side, the Mount Edgecombe Lady Braves defeated the Petersburg Lady Vikings 40-36 in the second round. The Lady Vikings defeated the Sitka girls in the opening round of the tournament. The Lady Wolves and Lady Vikings will have a rematch today to determine who will meet Mount Edgecombe in the finals. As with the boys' bracket, Mount Edgecombe must lose twice on the final day today to be eliminated. For complete schedule information and links to the Region 5 tournament live stream, visit our website at kcaw.org. That's it for Raven News for this morning. You are listening to KCAW Sitka, where it's just about a minute after 8 o'clock. The temperature outside here in downtown Sitka, 34 degrees, overcast skies, and it's going to get a little blustery today. Good morning.